Welcome to Back Fence Unhinged, a sweet conversational dune buggy ride through the sand dunes of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear a true story about what happens when your sex life has become a desert and you divulge a secret on a date in Joshua Tree with a guy named Josh. From the solo performer and actor who plays the mayor of Las Vegas in Hacks, Lauren Weedman. Then comes the unhinged part. We'll pry open the oyster shell of Lauren's story and uncover the unspoken raw pearls that lie within. Hello, Frame.
Hello, Andrew. Lovely reading, as always.
Oh, now thank you.
I'm kind of picturing you on a dune buggy right
I
now.
Am.
And
I
it's a good
am.
Image with your crop of hair blowing in the duny breezes.
I've got
I like
my,
it.
And I've got my seatbelt on.
You do,
I
of course.
I want to talk food for a minute, Frame. I'm curious, what is the most famous chef whose food you've eaten?
In running a storytelling show, I met this Leather Stores, who's a famous Portland chef who's been in the New York Times, has cookbooks. And this was early on in the show, and I was really nervous to ask him to be a storytelling guest. And so he said yes. And then to work on his story, he invited me into his restaurant, and he cooked breakfast for me while we were working on his story. And it just felt like it's one of those little moments where I was like, I think I've made it. A famous chef is making me bacon and eggs. And the bacon
amazing.
Was so good. And I'm sorry for any vegetarians / vegans out there for talking about bacon. But it was really a sweet moment, you know, and just creating a show.
All storytelling rehearsals should be like that.
They should be. Somebody should be cooking me food. What about you?
I was once in Las Vegas and went to Kraft, which is Tom Colicchio's restaurant. I don't believe he was there, but Target was picking up the bill. It was a corporate. And everyone ordered their steak. And they said, Andrew, why don't you order the sides? And I just said, I turned to the waiter and said, we'll have one of each. the food was so good.
Nice. Do you remember a particularly tasty side you had?
It's always the asparagus. I mean, asparagus done right.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better.
Not the way
me.
Your mother cooked it.
No.
I mean, mushed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible.
So we've got a really exciting guest,
we
Frame.
Do.
Who's coming on?
Oh, let me do the intro. Thanks for that lead-in. Sweet lead-in. Lauren Weedman is a solo show performer, writer, teacher, champion equestrian trainer, and actor. One of those was not true. She's created 12 solo shows, many award-winning, and all very hilarious. Most recently, she played the mayor of Las Vegas in Hacks, Zamboni, anyone? And Patrice, the spicy personal chef in Sirens. Welcome, Lauren Weedman.
Thank you. Happy to be here, you guys.
Let's all over-enunciate everything after I've been a stumble mouth this morning.
I get it. My teeth are always sliding around. I get it.
Indeed, indeed. So what's going on in Los Angeles these days, Lauren?
Oh, gosh, so much. This is, you know, every conversation I feel like I have with people is everyone going, nobody's really saying how scared they are. Nobody's really saying how freaked out they are. Like everybody's like, because whenever I say like, I'm unhinged constantly, actually. And whenever I share that state, people are like, oh, that's so thank you for saying it, because that's how we're all feeling. So it's like that here and a little hot.
Yeah. And a little hot on top of that.
Yeah.
And is your son in high school now?
Oh, a little personal.
Oh, I'm diving deep now.
Yeah, totally. I usually don't claim to have a son, but okay, now it's out. I have a, now I'll never find a man. Thanks. Okay. He's in high school. He's a sophomore in high school. He got his ears pierced.
How old were you when you got your ears pierced?
I was actually 16. My mom was really like I went to a dermatologist. So we'd have them done right.
You went to a dermatologist, not Claire's.
No, because she was very racist, and she's everything about her was like, well, I don't want to go to, you know, there was a shooting at the mall at the earring tree. And so it's really not the same neighborhood anymore. I would never shop there. Like, she's just petrified of like the fact that the mall was not all white ladies anymore. And so she took me to a dermatologist where white people go to get their ears pierced, like just super overly. And I remember being like, boring. And then the second pierce I got was literally from a drunk girl at a party, you know, with an apple in the back of my ear. So that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I've had it done that way too. I got my third piercings, second and third piercings, where a friend came over and with whiskey and a clean needle. And
just jammed it through your ear. Yeah.
By the way, I don't think it's only white people who go to dermatologists, which is so that's such weird reasoning.
Oh, yeah. I meant like, to me, it's bougie. It's bougie to go to every doctor. And so bougie in my mind is so like, oh, yeah. I know black people are bougie too. But I'm talking about the thanks. Now I'm a racist too, Frank. That's unhinged. Is the whole theme of the show unhinged, or is a theme every time different?
No, it's always unhinged.
It's always unhinged.
Oh, it's always unhinged. Oh, yeah. So whatever. Oh,
that's the name.
Great.
Yes, back fence.
Good, because that's how I walk into it. In fact, I went on a date the last sort of, well, the only time I've been asked out from being on stage, this guy, we went to have coffee, and he was like, well, you seem kind of unhinged on stage. I was just curious to see if you're going to be that unhinged in person.
Oh, my God. So it was just a curiosity date.
Yeah, totally. Which,
putting
I'm
you
sure
in a petri dish.
Did he give an assessment at the end of the night?
Oh, I was pretty sure that was his assessment, but the fact he even told me that, was like, oh, I'm getting a real, that I, no matter, just the sound of my voice, I felt like I was punching him with every time I talked. He was like, ow, 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 ow. It was just too loud, too much, too much.
Too much, too much. Speaking of dates and unhinged, I'm excited to hear your story today. Do you want to take us for a dune buggy ride inside your story?
The dune buggy ride. I totally do. This is, the whole topic of dating is very, like, is always obviously for, I'm sure not the only one that finds it all very unhinging. But I had decided I wanted to, after COVID, I had the isolation and the intensity of being alone during that was too much of, I truly was like touching the abyss the whole time of just like,
oh, yes.
I'm all alone, there's nothing, why didn't I, this is, I'm trapped with my choices, and my choices were poor, and I'm so lonely, and I went through menopause during it, so I came out of COVID like 20 pounds heavier, and not feeling great, and not heavy in like an embracing way, but bloated with mezcal kind of heavy, you know, and not healthy. And so I was feeling, and I didn't, and the menopause thing is a real situation to sort of be handling. Anyway, but I was like, the loneliness factor, I'm like, God dang, my friends are very encouraging, like, you should get out there. You know, people your age do it. Sometimes they like to dance too. You know, like they're really encouraging me to do it.
And oh, there's nothing worse than the phrase, people your age.
I got that. Not only did I get that, when I started talking about the fact that I wanted to date, and I thought maybe if I mentioned it to people, they would like go, oh my God, my brother, everybody he knows is dead. You're the one who's going to save him. Like there'd be somebody out there that would, I'd be the perfect person. But when I mentioned it to more than one of my friends, and two of them were Hollywood actresses, the response was like, here's the thing, I'm going to be honest with you, Lauren. You've got to be younger. You got to be thinner. And you've got to at least like, or be somebody that they're like, oh, you're such a huge success. I get to live in her house. Like everything that was awful about LA, they were completely saying, they were embracing and telling me to my face, which I found like shocking that they're, yeah. I'm like, well, I don't think you're supposed to say that to each other. Right. To another woman, like you're too fat and old. Like that, yeah. I'm not kidding. And then also I cut my hair and I had friends saying like, and they always said it with like, I'm gonna be honest with you, Lauren, you're not gonna meet someone with that haircut.
Wow.
Like, men don't want that.
That
they don't
is
want
such
that.
The Hollywood disease, by the way. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm just going to interpolate that the rest of the country also, every city in the country thinks these things.
Well, I was shocked. I truly was like, I can't believe you're saying that. Like, to my face. Like, that's so unsupportive for the. And I remember I was working on Abbott Elementary, and I was complaining about this whole phenomenon. And the woman who was doing my hair was like, I swear to God, you, like, white women hate yourselves. And I was like, boy, that is kind of true. Thank you. Back to race. So I decided that I was like, okay, I'm going to skip. And I did go on. I was on the apps for a second. And some guy said to me, like, before we meet, I don't know if you saw my profile, but I'm requesting to have a fit and active woman. Are you a fit and active woman? And I was like, what's happening? I was like, I want a Northwest guy. And I had this, I definitely romanticize my Seattle, Portland time, and the men in Seattle, I'm like, I want somebody who, you know, makes beard out of the yeast in his beard and is a real man and is like a real and not so, you know, caught up in this bullshit. And so I had a crush on this guy on Facebook. Let's call him Josh. I was going to change his name, but I'm like, you always said Josh, Joshua Tree. I'm like, yeah, it does work. Okay, Josh. I'd like this guy just purely through social media. Thought he was, and he was a welder. And he rode a motorcycle, and I liked him. And so we'd been flirty, and we got to the point where I'd actually said, why don't you come out? Like, let's meet each other. And we had mutual friends as well, who are all kind of excited for me about him.
Wait, did I miss, where does he originate from?
Seattle. He's out of Seattle. So he flew out from Seattle, and we're going to go to Joshua Tree to spend the weekend.
Mm. Nice.
And yes, totally. And he,
what a first
and
as date.
It's a hot first date. And he'd never been there, and I know it pretty well, so I could be hosty. And it's a sexy place to go. It's dry, maybe not good for the menopausal woman. Sorry. All right. But I picked him up from the airport, and it was immediately, I was liking him. He did have amazing eyebrows, like the longest eyebrows I'd ever seen, to the point where I was like, God, that is this aging in the Northwest? Nobody, they don't like trim the eyebrows. But that's all right. I figured if we go on, I'd trim them. Anyway, that's not really an important point. But we was attracted to him. It was good. And then we immediately were, you know, very physical with each other. And there was a moment where, I was trying to think how to get into this like physical stuff. But I just remember he's very massagey. He was doing a lot of mushing, and I was so scared about being touched. And I was so worried about just being, I had not been touched by a man in a very long time.
Oh my.
I know. And I was like, let me take off my apron. Help me untie that, will you, darling? Okay. And it was kind of like that. I felt like an old lady. I felt my age, and I felt super just vulnerable physically and not that. And I was like, oh, this part I hadn't thought about. I'd forgotten that I'm a whole different like bag of mush these days. I feel like a science experiment as I'm aging more than anyway. But he did this thing where I just remember at one point he put his hands on my stomach and he was massaging my stomach. Just like, you know, kneading the bread. But it was so sweet to me to be touched in that area that I started crying. And I had this moment of like, of vulnerability where I was like, wow, this is so.
Can relate.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And it actually was a second of like, wow, it's not only going to be okay dating at this age. How amazing. It's so much deeper. It's so much more intimate. And then I said that to him, and I shared that with him, and I was all weepy. And then at one point he was like, you know, something I'd like to do is take a shower. And so we ended up, and I was like, oh my God, the lighting in that shower is like brutal. But I was like, yeah, that's what you do. That's a romantic thing. And in the shower, and we're all very sort of like, you know, flirty and sweet. But when we get in the shower, he starts like, it turned out that he had been caretaking for his ailing father for years and years and years and years. And he had to bathe his father. That was a big part of his job. Because I was like, he was bathing me. Like, he'd be like, can I get a hand? And he would, every hand, he's scrubbing me really. And at one point he was like, he was scrubbing the bottoms of my feet like there were hooves. Ooh. Like he was really like, scrub, 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 scrub. Like it wasn't
some
sexy.
Some muscle memory there.
Yeah, totally. Like it wasn't this like sexy shower. Like I thought it was going to be this like, you know, oops, you know, oh yeah, sudsy. But instead he was just like, go ahead and turn around and get your back here. Okay, I want to go ahead. Can I get your left arm? Okay, we're going to rinse now. Rinsing. And I remember I was like standing there like I felt like cattle because he was truly just like, and then he was like rinsing off the soap, but he's like, I'm gonna do one more on the feet and my toes, and he's getting in between my toes, and I was like, God, I really feel like I'm being like I'm a you know 90-year-old man, you know, being washed by my nurse. But very sweet, still very sweet. And he was, and we, and that whole weekend ended with him declaring like, I'm gonna come see you every other weekend, we're gonna keep this going. And like, this is a good thing. We're vibing.
Wow.
And love it.
Yes. And he did come out every other weekend, which was incredible. And he's a chatty. He's real chatty. And everywhere we'd go, he would talk to everybody. And he was also I just remember being embarrassed by his constant, like, I would hear him, if he went to go get us a coffee or whatever, that he would, I'd hear him like, I'm from Seattle, I'm a metal worker, and yeah, I'm really enjoying my time. I really, talking to everybody.
Right.
And to the, like, the restaurants, say, oh, I don't like to eat big meals. I'm a nibbler. I'm more of a nibbler.
Was he funny? Did you find him funny?
Yes, he was funny, but there's something about, and I was warned about this. They're like, he's just, this guy's a genius. He's an amazing artist as well. And he's a little annoying. Like somebody said, he can be a little annoying. He's a little, doesn't always read the room kind of thing.
Sure.
And he did a lot. I remember seeing him get into an Uber one time and he goes right to the front seat, you know, and the Uber driver's like, you know, and
I gotta move my stuff.
He's an Uber goober.
Yes. He's a- Is that what they call him?
Today, yes.
Okay, that is such a good term, because that's when he opened the door to the Uber, because he goes, and he goes, I'm a front seat rider. I always ride in the front. You can see that. I was like, oh, God. Like, and the person looked annoyed. And so he just talked to everybody everywhere. And he's just very, 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 very chatty and never stopped talking, really. But he's also a good listener, too. He also, like, when, it, so at a certain point, I remember we're at the pier in Santa Monica, and I had said to him, you know what? One thing that I've never done when I've started a relationship is tell them what I actually battle with the most, where I can, I'm sure I come off as a very unhinged, unwell, mentally unwell lady, because of the fact that I've been in this marriage where my husband had this affair that lasted for like 3 years. And I had sensed that things were going on, and this the woman that was around us, and I didn't know the affair was going on. But for years and years, this instinct of like something is wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And of course it was always denied by my husband, like, no, we're talking about, you know, she's just the babysitter. You're being weird. And so I had so much PTSD from that. So I was telling him that I have this, I definitely have realized since my divorce that I get insane when we're in certain environments when a beautiful younger woman is in the environment. And I'm so embarrassed to say that out loud because I'm such a feminist and I love that beautiful young woman who's coming in. But I will, if I'm with a partner or guy, immediately just think, well, I've lost. That's it.
Aww.
She's going to take them. Like, she's going to take them.
That's so hard to talk about. That's so vulnerable. Like, it's a thing you really don't want to admit ever, you know?
No.
It's so hard.
And also, as a, it wasn't at all the person I was, you'd never, I feel like you'd never guess that that was who I was, I think, that then that sort of, but I was like, I have a chance to maybe heal this. Because I'm like, if he's going to like mush around on my stomach, he could handle this. Like, he could get in there deep. And so I was like, this is something. And he was like, I completely understand that. What can I do with that? And again, I was like, thank you, Northwest, for making this man. And he was like, what can I do in those times? And I go, I think it'd be amazing if I could just admit it. Because I get an adrenaline rush and I kind of black out in the way that I cannot think straight. And I'm thinking that you're just lying to me. Like, if you're, I don't care about what we're talking about. I'll think, oh, you're just messing with me. Like, I'm being played. Like, I just get crazy.
Trauma.
And I go, I don't know if it'll come back, but it may, whatever. I go to visit him for the holidays and in Seattle. And at one point, I don't know why this, I met his friends and went to a little gathering. And there was a woman I met there who was, I forget how he knew her, whatever. He's a part of her, his family friends. And she worked in hospice. And I offended her because I made some joke about, it wasn't even a joke. She just said she worked in hospice. And I was like, oh my God, these hospices, as we all know, such incredible people, angels amongst us. And she goes, oh, they really are the most amazing humans on earth. And I go, but is there like one asshole who's just like talked really loud or something? And I go, is there somebody there that, and she was like, well, I certainly hope there's not an asshole there. Cause we truly are, like, she was completely like, not going, I go, I'm just kidding. I meant obviously not, you're good people. And then people asked me about LA, like I was definitely like I was mentally ill. Well, they were like, how are you doing there? Yeah, it's a different place, isn't it? And they all were very like taking pity on me. But anyway, so me and his friends, it was a little, nah. And then I get invited by a friend of mine to have New Year's Eve with her, my friend Sandy. And Sandy was like, oh, I'm good. And Sandy's Brooklyn and she's always doing it right. Like, I'm going to do it right. We're going to have like a party. It's going to be amazing. And then She tells me the night before, I don't think, right before we're about to go, I know it was, I didn't know initially this is, she, that what the vibe was going to be. She was like, she was, oh, just, it's a perfect gathering. I got the best guests are going to be there. There's going to be an actress that knows you, that you worked with. And then this like celebrity chef is her boyfriend. And he's going to cook the whole dinner. And we're having a celebrity. And I, my initial response is, oh no, please, not an actress from Hollywood and a celebrity chef. Like, that's exactly what I don't want. Like, I want the, I'll take the crabby hospice worker, the earnest.
Right, you're already worker. Having a whole little hot ball of feelings
yeah,
about
I'm
this.
Yeah, I'm in Seattle to get away from that.
Yes, yes. And I didn't want this whole thing of like, isn't this so fancy? Isn't this, aren't we all great? We're all so special. We're, I didn't want that vibe of, I just didn't want the LA thing around it. But Josh was really excited, and he was, and I was also like, oh, I'm sure it'll be a fun night for him too. That'll be, you know, and fun for him to experience the celebrity chef stuff. So we go, we get there, and Josh just sits there the whole time. I remember he just was sitting there, and here's this guy that in every environment, he never shuts up, like truly never. And he'll be like, I really talk a lot. Lauren doesn't like it. She says I talk too much. I don't know. Sometimes I wear socks with my sandals, but that's okay. The kids do it too. He's just like, da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden he's super quiet. He's just sitting there and he's staring at the actress.
No.
Like just staring at her. Just like, and his eyes just sort of like, wow, wowza. Like, ooga, ooga.
Like your worst nightmare coming true.
That's what I'm seeing is that, and he looks stunned. He looks, because she's so, so, and I could, she was very LA sort of Hollywood lead. She was the lead in the show. And I'd been a guest on the show for, I think, one episode. And I played a drinky, gross, like aunt who everyone's creeped out by because I'm drunk at a wedding. And everybody's like, ew. And so, and she kept referring to me as my character name. She was like, come on, Aunt Janice.
No.
And I was like, oh, it's such an unsexy name. Do you know, the whole thing, I was like, oh.
Unsexy name, unsexy character.
Everything. And she's the lead of it. And she's just, and she's also, of course, gorgeous and, you know, and very dynamic and full of life and full of energy and stuff, the actress. And then she's talking about, she's bought this property and they're so excited. She bought this house and there's horses on. She's always wanted horses. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to throw up. I'm so overwhelmed with just like, oh my God, this is, and I'm like, Lauren, keep it together. Just because she's had, you know, and I'm feeling more and more insecure. Right. Just insecure, insecure, and mad at myself for being this age and being insecure. Like the last thing people want is, you know, as an insecure old lady. I get it. We want our matriarchs wise and centered. So we sit down for dinner and I'm definitely coming a bit apart, but I'm trying to like focus in and still like I'm making jokes like crazy. And we sit down and the chef comes in and he sort of like presents us with our meal and puts down all these huge bowls of food that he made and stuff. And it's very like family style presentational, whatever. And every time he puts a bowl down and we all take a serving, Josh jumps up and he'll take the bowl and he'll take it away from the table. Like he keeps clearing the table. And the chef is going, no, it's okay, man. Leave it on the table. It's a family style. I want people to be able to eat it. Sort of the presentation. I want everyone to see all the food out. And Josh, oh, okay, sorry. And then he did it again. Like he put down a salad, we'd all take, and then Josh would jump up and clear the salad. And I'm like, everyone's like, hey man, you keep clearing the plates. We're asking him to keep the, and it got to the point where we're all like, what's up with it? And people are also laughing like, hey, bring it back, please.
Seconds over this way.
So you guys are, yes. you all are both having this weird trauma response to the situation somehow.
You know, you're right. And I was so blinded by my own, of course, I couldn't see that what he was doing. I was just like, why is he acting so abnormal? Like when I'm also being a freak, but I'm, you know, I'm hiding it better. And so, or I think I am. And then he, at a certain point, we're like, could you, like, hey, bring it. And finally, the chef gets kind of mad. He was just like, hey, bro, leave it on the table, man. And Josh takes it, he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And he takes the bowl and he goes on his knees and holds the bowl over his head and crawls like a, you know, I don't know. It was like Egyptian slave. Like he's like crawling with his, on his knee, and he presents it to the actress. Like, so he's right in front of her. Like, and I just have this image of him on his knees bowing before her. Like, I worship you. Is all I'm seeing, you know, and he presents her with the bowl and she was like, oh, thank you. And there was something about, I was like, okay, I've got to go. I have to get out of here. Like he is completely obsessed with her and he's on his knees in front of her and is so focused on them, only on them, only them. And so I whispered to him, I go, remember that thing I told you about? I'm having it right now. And I think I have to go. Like, I'm really feeling like I want to go. I'm about to get up from the table and leave. Like, I'm freaking out in a way that I shouldn't. But and I'm whispering this. And then he goes, oh, she wants to go. I don't want to go.
No.
I'm having a really good time. And he announces that, oh, yes, he's very good. He was just like, I don't want to go. Oh, can you wait till after the dessert? Oh, man, I was having a really good time. I wanted to see what we're going to go outside for the fire. And he's Ganga. And I was like, oh, my God, I told you. And then I do this, like, why don't you stay? Oh, you know what? Why don't you just stay? And this is exactly what would happen is I get really, I go, why don't you stay? I'm going to leave. I'll come back. I'll pick you up later. Will that be fun for you? Okay, bye. Just crazy, crazy. And everyone sees. And people are like, you're going to go right away? Like, and Sandy's like, what's going on? And everybody, in this big party, is like, what's happening? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like, I think I have the flu. I'd better go. And I was,
oh my God.
And then we, and I'm sure I got out of it smoother than what I felt. And we get outside, and I just remember I was like, had this, right outside the door, I go, Josh, I just told you that I was feeling this, I told you this was my issue, and I warned you about this, and you said to tell you, and he goes, yeah, you did, but I didn't know it was going to be that bad. Like, that's really crazy. Like, I thought that was like, I thought it was just you being sort of like, oh, I'm insecure, she's got a mini skirt on, but this is really, like, you really seemed, and I was like, oh, for God's sakes, that is so completely, I don't really have an ending to that. I just was, well, I do have an ending. We broke up.
the best, perfect ending.
The perfect ending.
Still friends. Still friends.
Still friends. Good.
Oh, that's good.
Still good friends.
Still friends.
Well,
yes.
He'll enjoy listening to this then.
He will, actually. He does love stories about himself.
There you go. All right. Well, it's a good thing you didn't change his name. Lauren, what an incredible story.
That was so good. And so, you know, funny, but yet that is, it's so raw and vulnerable, which is something you're so great at doing in storytelling and in your solo shows, and all your work is so great.
So it must be time for Bree's Hot Minute.
Sure.
So Powell's bookstore manager Bree Hoag has been listening and in her own dune buggy, and is now going to share some tasty book recommendations based on themes from Lauren's story.
My first recommendation is Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. In this book, Eleanor is struggling with a recent breakup and memories of a traumatic childhood. It's a weirdly funny and wonderful story about human connection amidst a mental health crisis. I've also heard people say it accurately describes PTSD episodes. I recommend this book to everyone. The next book is Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman. In this book, a writer interviews a famous actor, and the two have a connection that plays out over a long weekend. 10 years later, the two reunite for another interview, and both remember what happened in that first weekend, each reflecting on how the article affected their lives. That's it for my Hot Minute. Back to Fran and Andrew.
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you so much, Bree. That was so great.
So, Lauren, where can people learn more about you, see what you're doing, catch you on the big?
I think at this point, they probably have had enough. Let's let them off the hook. Do you think that they're like, wow, I've got to find more of her psychologically. I'm on Instagram.
Right.
At Lauren. What do you say when it's a line between it, but it's
underscore.
Not a, it's not a hyphen?
Underscore.
Underscore. That's right. I knew that. Lauren underscore Weedman at Instagram. And I'm getting ready to do Substack, but I'm not. God, that's taking me forever to launch that.
It's a big step.
It's a big step.
It is. It is.
Okay. And so real quick, what is a sort of seemingly innocuous thing that makes you unhinged?
When people say, you're good. You know, when you do like, or no worries, the same thing.
Right.
Like, let's say I came in, I was like, oh God, sorry. I thought I grabbed that pen. It's your pen. And then you could tell they're not quite listening. And they're like, oh, that old lady's talking to me. And they're like, oh man, you're good. You're good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. There's something about the no worries and all good that always I have to stop myself from going like, oh, really? Am I all good?
Is it all good?
Am I all good? Is that was all good?
Lauren Weedman reading more into the moment than what's there. I don't believe it. Oh, man. Lauren, thanks so much for being our guest today.
What an awesome story. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Andrew, for being the co-host, my co-host today.
Thank you, Frayn, for the same.
And thank you to our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. Frayn Masters Me is executive producers. Frayn Masters and Andrew Dixon are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lostlander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Co-working Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this show at X-Ray FM. Find them online at 91.1 or 107.1. And you can find out more info about Andrew and me and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.